Okay. A lot of things in this parasha. This week we get away with only one parasha. Ordinarily, Vayakel Pikudei is a double header. Double header. This year, it's not a double header. Why is it not a double header this week? Well, why is it not? Because this week is an Ibiyar. It's a leap year. So leap year, we have to go. We have to expand the parashas. Every parasha, this parasha gets the entire parasha Vayakel all for itself. That's a very significant. Significant thing, but we have also it's Parsha Shkolim. This week we mentioned yesterday at length is the first of this series, Parsha Shkolim. So let's discuss a few. One thing at a time, let's discuss who was selected this week to be the builder, the architect for the project manager. Oh, it's the architect, but the project manager for the construction of the Mishkan. Two people. Who are the two people? Bezalel and Oholiyah ben Achisamach Lamate Don. Two people. Now, I'll tell you a part that I told you, those were told this many years ago. There's a little new insight which I came to appreciate yesterday, so it's worthy to repeat it very quickly. Is Bezalel was selected. How old was he? This whole Medrash, he was 13 years old. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he trained him, he taught him. I'm going to read some of the things that it says about him in the Pasuk. And he, and as well as Aholiyah ben Achisamach Lamat, Aholiyah ben Achisamach. Now, let me turn to the page. Okay, here we go. Ru'u kara Hashem b'shem, Bitzalel, let me find the Pasuk. Here it is. It's the beginning of Shlishi. Vayoymer Moshe el bnei Yisrael, Ru'u kara Hashem b'shem, Hashem specified by name, Hashem designated by name, Bitzalel. Ben Uri ben Cholamata Yido, he was the son of Miriam. His father was, what does Rashi say? He was the son of Michori, b'no shel Miriam Hoya. He was the son of Miriam. Who was his grandfather? Chor. Chor was murdered. Grandfather was murdered. He tried to prevent them from making the Egel. They murdered him. His grandson was selected, I guess, as a kapara. It should be the grandson of the one who actually was murdered. He went and he took his place. Okay. Ben Uri ben Cholamata Yehuda v'yimali yosai ruach elokim. So Hashem says to Moshe, I want you, Moshe, to fill him up. Fill him up. Take him to the gas station. And fill up his mind with knowledge. Vayimale Yisai, or Vayimale Meimi, Hashem is going to fill him up. Beruach Elokim, Bechochma, Besun, Vedatzcho, Belochov, Velachshem, Hachashav, Eslatos, Bazov, Bekev, Kodesh. It goes on. And then there's a very critical pasuk which speaks volumes. It's relevant to everything about our life, everything about Judaism. Everything about Judaism is found in here when it comes to this next pasuk. Ule Hoyrois Nosan Belivo. It's not enough that Bezalel should be a person imbued with infinite knowledge. It says very clear, it says in this pasuk incredible things that it doesn't even say about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to Shemayim for 40 days, three times. It doesn't say if Moshe was a good student. And in fact, you get an indication Moshe wasn't the best student. How do you know that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, during that time he was there, Hashem said to Moshe, what's all this about over here? Hagin, what's going on over here? And Hashem showed Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva giving a shir. This is like, you know, like a story, time travel min ha-Torah minayim. Where do you learn about time travel in the Torah? Moshe. Moshe went to Shemayim. Moshe. Hashem was teaching Moshe, and Hashem was showing about the tagim of the crowns on the Sefer Torah. And Moshe, what's going on here? And Hashem says, the day will come when Rabbi Akiva, he's going to be doyresh, tal talim shel halachos, from these little tagim that I'm putting on the letters of the Osios. So why? Here, let me learn. So Hashem puts Moshe Rabbeinu in a time machine. He takes him, what is it, 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, whatever it is, 1,500 years later, and Moshe, all of a sudden, he's sitting in the shir, time travel. Star Trek. Time travel. He's sitting in the shir in the back. And he's, I wonder where Rabbi Akiva, he must have seen Moshe in the shir. Who is this fellow over here? Who is this guy over here? Walked off the street. He doesn't look like us. Who is he? And Moshe is sitting in the shir, he's listening to Rabbi Akiva, Darshan, and he doesn't understand one word. Doesn't understand one single word. Okay, Moshe was not necessarily the best student. He comes back to Hashem and he says, I don't understand the shir. If you didn't understand Rabbi Akiva, you're not going to get into brisk. They're not going to take you in brisk. What's going to be with you? And he was only niskara daita when he said, halacha l'moshe l'sinai. Okay, look. Moshe doesn't say anywhere that Moshe was the best student. And Hashem had to teach him the best that he could. Moshe was the shechina midaberes mitech picha. Who says that Moshe fully comprehended every single, doesn't say anywhere. But Bezalel, it's...
If he could teach it, then he understood.
He's saying, you're making a very good point. He's saying something very, very true. We're going to come down in a second. He's saying, you're making a very good point. But Bezalel, it says incredible things about Bezalel. It says here, you can't do better than this. It doesn't say this about Moshe. Vayimale oisai. I will fill him up with Ruach Elokim. Okay, Moshe had Ruach Elokim, but here it says, b'chochma, b'svuna, uvidas, uvichol mulacha, v'lachshoiv machashavois. Wow! It says over here such incredible description of knowledge. Bezalel had, the Torah says testimony that Bezalel had incredible knowledge that no one else in the world had.
No prior experience.
What? No prior experience, self-taught, Hashem taught him all this information. It doesn't say anywhere that Moshe was a chacham on a novin and das in l'chol melacha. It doesn't say that about Moshe, anywhere in Torah. It says that Moshe was the onav ma'od nikol ha'nashav ben adamah. Moshe went to Shemayim to receive the Torah. Hashem taught him everything. But it doesn't say about Moshe that he was a person imbued with chachma, tevuna, das, l'chol melacha, v'lachashav ma'chashavais. It doesn't say that. Bezalel, it says that. But guess what? So what? That's not the prize.
Bezalel,
that's
an average person? Yeah, I mean, you're calling him no talent and...
We don't know what he was before. All we know is what he was after. Okay. The Torah says testimony that Bezalel was a person that he was filled with all of these meters.
He was all a gift, though.
Fine, it was a gift. Does
but
it say...
Does it
say anywhere that Moshe had these gifts? Does it say at the end of the day? At the end of the day, it's the Torah says testimony that Bezalel was an individual that was possessed with Chochma, Das, Tevuna, Uvchol Melacha, V'lachshoiv Machashavas.
The more adjectives you use,
the less it means?
The less it means, exactly. It's a given. Moshe has that plus more than anything else.
But it doesn't say it about Moshe. Okay, I'm not arguing. I'm just playing with you. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It says about Moshe, the Ish Moshe, Onav Me'od Nikola Od Mashap Ne'adama. Shloima Melech says, Shloima said, that I cannot come to the Chachma of Moshe. Moshe was the 50th Madrega of Chachma. I'm only the 49th. You're right. You can show me many, many Mamari Chazal, which indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest wise man in the entire history of the world, absolutely. But it doesn't say such a pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says such a nusach only about Bezalel. But guess what? This is not the crown. This is not the gold. You know what the gold is? The next words. The next words are critical. Ule hoirois nosan bilibo. These words are so critical. This is the whole, everything about Judaism comes down to these three words. It wasn't enough that Bezalel possessed the ultimate knowledge of this world. Bezalel was a teacher. He had the skill, pedagogue. He had the ability, a master of educating the Jewish people. He was a master in the field of education. Ule hoirois means to teach, to instruct. He didn't just know. He knew how to teach a student on his level to comprehend what he needs to know in order to do the mulacha. That is the mile. The knowledge is not for me. The accumulation of knowledge is not, oh, in your mind you should possess all of this knowledge. It's very wonderful. Obviously, this is the Talmud Yo'ilam Haba, is to have this knowledge. In the next world, this knowledge. But there's something much more important about knowledge. It's like Chazal say, what is the, what is the, what is, Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. You learn the sugya. What's the purpose of learning the sugya? Is in order to know, we commonly translate this, in order to know what to do. You gotta know what to do. Right? The Psak Halacha. You learn the Gemara, new. Now you know the Gemara. You read the Gemara, you know the Gemara. And so now you have to know, you have to understand Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. You have to understand Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara. Look at Rabbeinu Chananel, how he understands the Gemara. Look at the others. Now that you know all the different opinions, now what do you do? What's the Halacha? Let's look at the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Oh, I see how the Rambam, what the Rambam, let's look at the Torah. What does he say? Let's look at the Beis Yosef. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? What does it say in the Shach and Taz? What does it say in the Magen Avraham and the Taz? What does it say? What does it say? What does it say in the Mishnah Berurah? What does Rav Moshe have to say about this? La Suke Shmaitza, now you know what to do. Now that you have a full source, and you work your way up through the Rishonim, through the Achrayim, through the Poskim, you know, La Suke Shmaitza Aliba Behilchasa. But you should know that's not the end. That's not where it all ends. La Suke Shmaitza Aliba Behilchasa is to teach someone else what to do. Now that you know what to do, because you've gone from the earliest source, you work your way up through the Rishonim, Achrayim, the Poskim, the modern day Poskim. That's not called Aliba de Hilchasa. Aliba de Hilchasa is now teach this to someone else. Don't let the information, all of the secrets, don't let all of the ingredients be a secret for 75 years. Teach it. Give it over to someone else. Give it over to someone else. They should also know. Asuke Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa is not just that you should that it should be a trademark secret. In the world, that's how it is. The world, there are secrets. Trademark secrets, people want to protect people's livelihood, parnasa, people shouldn't steal copyrights. Okay, that's how it works in the Olam HaGashmi. It has to be a trademark, it has to be secrets. No one should steal your invention, your intellectual property. There are secrets. But in the world of Torah, there are no secrets. There are no secrets in the world of Torah, and the ultimate goal is Lasuke Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa is to have acquired the knowledge to such a degree and to acquire the talent ulechoyrois nosan belivo hu v'ahliya b'nachismach lamatei don. Now, it's interesting that this is the Maila, and this explains something very important. In all of the Kalim of the Mishkan, Bezalel's name is not mentioned. This Rashi says, there aren't that many Rashi in this expression. All of the Kalim of the Mikdash, it says, Vayasu, 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 they made. Who are they? The team. They had a whole team. Bezalel, he trained many workers, including Aholiyah, and they all together fashioned the Kalim. There's only one utensil in which it says that Bezalel made it himself. His name is on, and that is the Oroin. The Oroin. Why? So Rashi says, you know why it says it by the Oroin? Because the Oroin, he was Moiser Nefesh. The Oroin was Choviv to Bezalel, it was very precious. So Bezalel, the Torah gave him some credit, Vayas Bezalel es Oroin. For Ev, can you imagine, for all generations, the Oroin is always called, it's Bezalel's Oroin. It's an amazing thing. You know, the Rambam, when it goes to all the mitzvahs, the Tayag Nisi counts in different pratim, of the building of the various kalim of the Mishkan. The Oroin is not included in the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvos. It doesn't talk about the Oroin. It's one of the big questions on the Rambam. How come the Rambam, if he includes in the Minyan HaMitzvos, so making a Shulchan, making a Menorah, making a Mizbeach, what happened to the Oroin? Why didn't the Rambam also include in the Minyan HaMitzvos the building of the Oroin? So it's a very tough question. There aren't such good answers. One of the answers given is because all of the kelim of the Mishkan, they disappeared. And they were replaced over time. In the Bayis Rush, in the Bayis Sheni, maybe they were worn out. Okay, they were worn out. They had to make replacements. There's only one kli that was never replaced and never will be replaced. And that is the Aron of Moshe. It was made once and that's it. When Mashiach will come, it will be revealed, it will be hiding, and it will be restored. That's it. Once, the Zehu, so there's no mitzvah anymore to make a new Aron. And would you believe this Aron, you know whose name is signed on the Aron? You know who gets credit for the Aron? Bezalel. Bezalel's name is inscribed. He's making jokes with you, but the label, everything comes with a label, right? Made in China. made in China, made by Bezalel. There is a label attached to the R, made by Bezalel. Forever, forever. That is the same R with the same label, made by Bezalel in the time of the Bayis Shlishi. Incredible. Why? Rashi says he was Meiser Nefesh. It was so important. Why? And the other Kelim was not Meiser Nefesh? The answer is, the Iker Mile of Bezalel is what Hashem taught him. I'm not giving you this wisdom. I'm not filling up your tank with infinite wisdom that you should keep it for yourself. I'm giving you this wisdom to teach. I'm going to teach you how to be a coppersmith. I'm going to teach you how to weave. I'm going to teach you how to sew. I'm going to teach you all the skills that you need. Don't keep it for yourself. Teach. Open up the school of weaving, the school of stitching, and teach your team how to stitch, how to weave, how to deal with the precious metals, with stones. Teach them. What about the Oroin? What does the Oroin represent? To teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Open up a yeshiva to teach. It doesn't just mean to build the Oroin. It represents what is the Oroin all about? The teaching of the Torah. It's very nice to teach chesed, shulchan. It's nice to teach mesiras nefesh, to give up your life for Hashem with the mizbeach, with all of the kelim represent. It's very nice to teach about the menorah, the aura of the menorah, which represents, you can say, the seven chochmas of this world. And it's right, these are all very noble things that Bezalel was, he was imbued with this wisdom. I'm not giving you this wisdom that it should be a state secret. I'm giving you this wisdom that you should give it away. Teach the world. I'm giving you the skills to teach. From all of the disciplines, which one was the most chaviv, and it was Meiser Nefesh to teach? To open up a yeshiva. Jewish education to teach Torah. Ulehoyrois nosan beliboy, teach Torah. The Torah knowledge, what is represented by the Aron, you got to give away. You got to teach.
You have a smacht al zeh.
Yeah. Wow, excellent, unbelievable. Ule Yehuda shalach lefanav lehoyrois.
The same word.
To teach.
The same word.
To teach. Ulehoros, these words is the centerpiece. This week's parsha, Parshas Vayakel, from all parshas, these three words is the centerpiece of the whole Torah. Ulehoros, nosan belibo, vayas Bezalel es ha'aron. Bezalel, he made the aron. When it comes to Hashem, taught him everything, and you know the only thing that he was moisen nefesh to teach Klal Yisrael, the aron. To teach Torah.
See, the Aron was the only Kelly that had two children.
Excellent. What's on the Aron? Two children. Children, chinuch, exactly. The Kruvim. Kruvim is the Pnei Kravya child to teach. Jewish education. This is, I'm giving you everything, Bezalel. I'm going to teach you how to make money. Shulchan, the Shulchan is the Keser Malchus. I'm going to teach you the Keser Kahuna. I'm going to teach you, the whole world is in your. Which was the Moisir Nefesh to teach? Torah. Vayas Bezalel. It doesn't say Vayas Bezalel the menorah. It doesn't say Vayas Bezalel the shulchan the mizbeach. This is what Torah, this is what the whole Torah is all about. It's not a state secret to know what it says in the Gemara. The goal is to give it away, to teach. An art scroll Gemara, if you go to Barnes & Noble's, and you look at an equivalent of a book that the amount of effort and research and time and effort that went into one volume of an art school Gemara in the Goyesha world, it would probably be about $300-$400 at least. In college books. I used to teach in college. How much a textbook? $200, $300. What's in there? What do they got in there? Nothing. Half the time, it's nothing. And an art school, how does it much cost an art school Gemara? The price went up recently. $30, $40. The equivalent of what an art school Gemara you could probably mark it for $500, maybe even more, maybe even $1,000. You go see what goes on in academia. How much they charge for books? How much they give for books? $30. What's the pshat? That's the success of art school. It's not. Oh, we have knowledge and a sign in the Library of Congress. Ule hoirois nosan belibo. Lo hoirois meres laros. Mark. Zuchus yogin aleinu. Ule hoirois nosan belibo. The goal here is not to make money. The goal is ule hoirois nosan belibo is to give it away. It used to be in the olden days. Okay, I saw this var. In the olden days, they used to have on the Aron HaKodesh, on the Aron itself. They don't do it anymore. I don't know why. They say it's a Avodah Zarah. I don't know. All our ancestors used to have on their Aron and the Peroiches two lions.
That was a big problem. Yeshivas were spending so much time they couldn't figure out how the lions got up there. Look at the beginning of every Gemara, first half.
They took away the lions down the Gemara. Why? They claim it's Avodah Zarah. And what about Rav Moshe Feinstein? It wasn't Avodah Zarah. What Avodah Zarah? Wasn't Avodah Zarah? Oh, they have the lions. Baruch Hashem on the arts. Very good. They have the lions. What are these lions doing here on the arts of Chumash? What are they doing here? How did they get there? How did they climb up there? Why is it that it used to be traditional in every Aron Kodesh, from time immemorial, the Peroiches had two lions? Today, no more. On the top, why do they have lions? It's very poshut. It's very, very sad. I don't know why no one says very poshut. What are the lions? What is a shul? A shul is a miniature mishkan. The asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'saycham ve'ahi lechem l'mikdash ma'at. Who built the first mishkan, the first mikdash? Bitzalel and Aholiyah ben Achisamach. They were the two project managers.
Well, the Beis HaMikdash was shaped like a lion.
What? It was very good. The Shechina that came out of the Bayis Rishon was a lion. The Bayis Sheni was a dog. The Shechina was a dog, but the Bayis Rishon was a lion. The Shechina was the super lion. The lion on the fire on the Mizbeach was a lion. What's a lion? There were two project managers for the Mishkan. Bitzalel from Shevet Yehuda. Aholiyav ben Achitzamach Lamate Don. What does it say in the Birchas Yaakov about Yehuda? Yehuda, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. And what does it say about Don in the Birchas Moshe? Ule Don Omar, Don Gur Aryeh. The only two Shvatim that are compared to lions are Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Don. On the Aron HaKodesh, the lion on the right is Bitzalel, the Shevet Yehuda. The lion on the left is Aholiyah ben Achismach. You ever go to a shul? Building sponsored. You put a name on a building, we do better. We have a name on the Aron HaKodesh. You can't put all these words over here. It's already taken. It's taken. The one who built the project manager of the bias of the Mishkan was Bitzalel and Aholiyah that are compared to lions. Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Dan. Rashi says, why? From the Gadol Shebishvatim to the Pechusim Shebishvatim. Who is the Gadol Shebishvatim, the greatest of all of the tribes? Yehuda, Malchus. Who was from the Pechusim? Don. Don is always the end. The rear guard. Don is the Pechusim. Why? Whatever that means, it means from the Pechusim to them. What does Rashi say? Ein Shoya Bifnei Dol. There's no favoritism in the Beis HaKnesses. If you're a rich man, who cares? Who cares? There's no favoritism. In the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis Medrash, there's no favoritism. The only favoritism is Yirah Shamayim and Torah. Money doesn't mean anything in the Beis HaKnesses. Everyone is equal in the Beis HaKnesses. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yidam, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone is the same. Everyone is the same. Klal Yisrael, there's a lot of favoritism. They are Kohanim, they are Levim, they are Yisraelim. Rebbe, Mechaved Es Hashirim. Rabbeinu HaKadosh gave cover to the wealthy. But everything has a time and a place. There's a time to mechabed the wealthy, and there's a time where Ein Shoya Bifnei Dol. Rashi, from the Gadol Shebishlot to the Luchush Shebishlotim. On the top of every Aron HaKodesh, who are you really see the two lions? You're looking at Bitzalel and Aholiyah ben Achisamach Lamate Don. And what is their maila? When you look at them, what is their greatness? Ule Hoyrois no San Beliba. The Torah that's in the Aron HaKodesh is not meant to be there. It's meant to be taught to you. The reason why they're there on top of the Aron is not just, oh, these are our sponsors, we want to pay tribute. These are the people who went and built. They built, look, they built the shul. Every shul is a miniature of the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was constructed by the two project managers, Bezalel and Aholiyah. But they're there. You know why they're there on the Aron? Don't make a mistake and think that what's in the Aron HaKodesh is a classified state secret. The Milois, the Iker Shevach of Bezalel and Aholiyah ben Achi Samach is what it says. I'm giving you, I'm filling you up. For what purpose? I'm giving you this knowledge so you should give it away. You should teach Klal Yisrael. Don't be selfish and keep the knowledge for yourself. That's not what it's all about. On the top of the Aron, they're there to say, don't think that just because it's locked up in a safe, that no, you shouldn't know what's inside. You should know. We're here in Ula Hoyro is not unbelievable. That's the message of them being there. Take it. It's in the Aron. Come, we invite you. Take it. Let me teach it to you. Okay, enough said. Let's discuss another idea. Now I want to discuss this idea. To me, is very chaviv. I think it's a new idea, maybe not. I want to discuss with you to try to bring it out the best that I can about the mirrors. Mirrors, there aren't too many rashi in this week's parasha, but at the end we learned about the kiyor. The kiyor was made from mirrors. Let me read you the rashi. Rashi is a very bizarre rashi. The marois hatsoivos. It's the end of the parasha, pasuk ches, which perik is it? It is perik lamid ches. Lamid ches 38:8. 38:8 Lamed Ches Vayas Es Hakior Nechoishes. The Kior is made from copper. The Ace Kanoi Nechoishes, the base of Nechoishes. Bimaroi Satsoivis. What raw material did they use to fashion the Kior? The mirrors. Marois means the mirrors. Hatsoivis. So what does that word mean? Tzvot. From the word Tzvot. Tzvot means an army. It means masses. It means an enormous number of people. It means a large collection of people that are standing around in an orderly way. Everyone has a place, a location. Everyone has a mokayim, but a massive number of people. Asher Tzavu that surrounded, that came to present themselves in the Pesach Oil Moed. It's very hard to translate this pasuk. Rashi, in fact, doesn't really translate it very much. He goes really with a little bit more on a tangent. Look at the Targum. Gavad yos kiyora, nechosho, yos bisise nechosho, be mech ziyos, neshaya, the mirrors of the women, de osion. He has a very beautiful parish of Targum, who came to pray. De osion litzalo'o bitran mashkan zimno. It's a very, a lot of mefarshim on this, that shtolzach on this unkelis. The unkelis says the mirrors that came, the maris, in the mirrors, first he says the maros. He says over here the word hatsoy the maros. He adds the word nishaya. The Targum really breaks all the rules of Targum. He has a lot of words here. The mirrors of the women who came to pray. Okay, fine. Let's put that aside for now. Let's read the Rashi inside very carefully. Rashi says benois Yisrael choyu biyod the maros. The Jewish girls, the Jewish women, had in their possession mirrors. They looked at the mirrors when they beautify themselves. I once went to the museum, the Living Torah Museum, by Rabbi Deutsch. I think it was in Shmuel Deutsch. And he opened up the glass case and he took out what he claimed to be one of these maras. Okay? It's hard to believe that the mara from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was still around. What? Yeah? He took out this thing. It was as rusty as can possibly be. It was a piece of copper. It was very, very heavy and had a handle and it was like a circle, and the amount of rust was so thick. And he told us how much he paid for this. That was everything was money. What?
Rust on copper?
Whatever, I don't know.
What was the material?
Copper, it was copper. So what happened?
Oxidization.
Yeah, whatever you call it, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know the science. Whatever it is, it was. He told us how much he paid for this, how he got it, how much he paid for it, and he says he wants to do half. They should treat it to make it into a mirror, half of it to show what it looks like now and what it looked like then, to show all the Yiddish kinlach who come, like us, to come to the museum to see what the Maris HaTzoivos were. He let everyone pick it up. It was very, very heavy, very heavy. And he told us how much it cost, maybe $100,000, out of some crazy amount of money, maybe even more, to go and have it done. Half of it should be made into a mirror, the way it was back then. The Maris HaTzoivos, the Noshim had these mirrors. Okay, copper mirrors. They had it, Rashi says, Shiroyis Mochem Kishain Miskashtois. The Af Oysan, these mirrors, loy ikvu milahavi linidvas hamishkan. The women did not hold back. They were so generous, they gave away their vanity. Right? That's what it really is. Vanity. They gave it away. Vahoya Moyes Moshe Bohem. Moshe was, he was disgusted. This was an object of filth to him. To bring into the Mishkan a mirror, a vanity, kishvoy kachu, right? Vanity, emptiness, to bring in a mirror that a woman uses to beautify herself. This is kulagashmi. There's no ruchnius in this. It's made to provoke men. Women should look beautiful, so a man should notice her. Liyetzahara. Omar lei hakadosh baruch hu. Kabel! Accept the mirrors. Ki elu, these mirrors, chavivin olai min hakol, they're more precious to me than everything that anyone here has brought to this Mishkan donation. Why? Shal yideihem, through them, hemidu hanoshim tzivois rabois, the word tzivois. Through these mirrors, the Jewish women, they produced multitudes of Jewish people, children, in Mitzrayim. What happened? When their husbands were tired, were crushed, were weak, from exhausted from crushing labor, they would go out into the field, into the work field, and would give them food and drink. And that wasn't, they pulled out of their purse. Look what else I got. I don't just have dinner, I have a mirror. They're very heavy, those mirrors. I have a mirror. The Cholachas Roya Atzma Imbala B'mare. Look at this Rashi, this graphic description. They did a selfie. Okay, a selfie. They picked up the mirror and they stood next to each other and the woman held up the mirror and they looked at each other. And the wife said to the husband, wife said, "Bemar umish shadal toy bidvarim loymar. Look, ani nohem mimcha. I'm more beautiful than you. Umitoych kach neviyos lebalem lidei taiva. Veniskokois lachem umis abrois viyoldo sham. And they had children right there. Shenemar tachas atapuach oyarticha. Underneath the apple tree, did I arouse you?" V'zeu shenema b'marois hatzoivos v'nasa akiyah mehem shehu l'shum losum shalom, to create peace in ish le'ishloi. And it goes on, Rashi goes on. You know this Rashi? Rated R. Rated R. What? I don't even know that they're going to get different classifications, whatever it is. This is, what in the world? What in the world is going on here? Excuse me, please. What? Adkan. This has to stop now, and we need clarity. This is not, what is going on? Excuse me, what is going on? Mark, what is going on here?
I promised myself.
Okay, now let's give some introduction. Let's start a Hagdamah. There is a woman by the name of Miriam. Miriam was the daughter of Amram. Amram, there was a person by the name of Parah. Paro issued an edict. Kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashli chuhu. V'chol habas techayun. Every male child that is born into the Nile, dead. Wipe them out. What happens? Amram, the Gadol Hador, says, Rabbi Isai, it's not kedai to have children anymore. It's not kedai. What's the purpose of having children? It's over. It was a nice run from the time of Avraham Avinu until now. Hashem had nachas. It's over. Adkan. The Jewish people are coming to an end. We tried. We did the best that we can. That's the extinction of the Jewish people around the horizon. What's the purpose? There's no way we can get out of their clutches. Of the Egyptians, we're finished. Everyone should follow in my lead and get divorced. Do not have children because the children are just going to die. Don't bring people into this world to suffer. That's not a good thing. So, along comes Miriam. Miriam says, Father, you're even worse than Paro. Paro was Goyzer al Zecharim. And you're Goyzer on even the females. Okay, her words have to be understood. But she basically told her father, this is not a Jewish way, this is not a mahalach. We have to persevere. We have to have emunah, and we have to go forward. And he listened to her. The godless of Amram listened to his advisor, his daughter. You're right. He took back his wife, machzeh gedushasai, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Moshe was born because of the influence of the younger generation, of a woman, really of a woman, Miriam. Whether you want to say it's the young people, the new generations, you want to say it's the Koich of an Isha, she has Bina Yisera, Nidna Isha insight. Don't worry so much. Don't think so much. Don't be too much of a Chacham. Just don't worry. Okay, very good. That is Hakdama number one. Now we're going to go to the Ikra, the main point I want to make. Let's go back to Parashas Lech Lecha, Avraham and Sarah. Avraham, Hashem says to Avraham and Sarah, it's time for you, Lech Lecha, you're now going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Wonderful. What happens? Problems. They're on the way, they go to Eretz Yisrael, they take a go. And then, Vayihi Ro'ov Ba'aretz. There's a massive famine. People are dying, starvation. It's horrific. We got no choice. We have to now go find food. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to Egypt. So they get on the bus and they go down to Egypt. Vayir oba aretz. Nu vayered Avram Mitzrayim lo gur sham ki chaved haroba aretz. What am I supposed to do? There's no food here. Okay. Vayhi kasha hikrev lovay Mitzrayim vayomel Sarah yishtoi. He sees Sarah. He says, Sarah, hine noyodati. It has become. I have become aware. Although we're almost 100, I'm almost 100 years old. I never knew what you look like. I never look at you. We have the perfect marriage, the ideal marriage. Hine noyodati. I've become aware. Ki isha yifas mariot. I didn't know this until now. Shocking discovery. 100 years old, his wife is 90 years old, and look at this. Whatever their age was, close to that, whatever it was. Isha yifas mareat, you're a beautiful woman. In Egypt, they're not used to seeing beautiful women. They're not used to this. When they're going to see you, it's going to be a problem. V'haya ki yir oisra ha-mitzrim, v'yarmu ishto isois. V'hargu oisi v'oisoch yichayu, they're going to kill me and they're going to take you. Therefore, I do me a toiva. We got a problem. We have a lemon here. My wife is a lemon. We're going to make her into lemonade. My wife is the source of my death. They're going to see me. They're going to kill me. So I'll say you're my sister. Oh, celebrity has come to town. Beautiful woman. Hollywood. We're now going to go give credit to your brother. We're going to give him matonis. There are many questions over here. First question is, why did all Hinei no yodati? So it doesn't say this in Rashi, but it says this in the Medrash. They were on the road, whether he looked or did not look at her, all of a sudden he saw Sarah's image in a babua, in a stream, in the reflection in the stream in the water. He saw her image. In other words, he saw Sarah in the mirror. What kind of mirror? It wasn't a mirror of glass. It wasn't a mirror of nechoshes. It was a mirror of water. But water also can be a mirror. It says in the Medrash, he saw her. What? He saw in the water. He saw Sarah in the water. And I'm making a drush now. I don't know if it's... He saw himself with her in the mirror. And he said, wow, you're a beautiful woman. Now, the question is so great. How could, what do you mean, never saw his wife before? So I want to connect the mirrors of the Kiyar with the mirror of Sarah and suggest, and even if it's not true what I'm saying, there's enough here that we don't need this anyway, is that when he said, it means relative to me. In other words, just like when it says explicitly in Rashi, in our parasha, what did the women do with the mirrors? They took out the mirror, they held it up, and the women, they looked at their husband together. They saw themselves in the mirror together with their husband. It was a selfie with their husband. And they said, look, I'm more beautiful than you. You're ugly. Look what a lucky man you are. You have a beautiful wife and I have an ugly husband. look in the mirror. They looked at each other. Is that really what it means? Now there's another Rashi right here on the page that explains everything, puts everything into perspective. And this is an amazing Rashi right here on the spot. Hinei no yodati. Look what it says over here. So I'll read the whole Rashi. First he says, Medrash Agada, Ad achshav lo hikir bo mitoich tzniyos shebeshneihem. The achshav hikir bo al yidei mais. Rashi says, Poshim Shad, Avraham, he never looked at her. I mean, this is shocking to say such a thing. And now he saw her because of the maisa. The maisa was he saw her reflection in the mirror. Put that as a dover acher. Okay, this is where it really comes, and here's where all the power comes. Dover Rashi. This is Rashi. I'm not making anything up over here. Dvarach and Rashi. Minag ho'oilom. It is the custom of the world. She'al yidei torech haderech. Adam misbazeh. A person ages due to the difficulty of traveling. In other words, the derech hachayim, agmas nefesh. When a person works too hard, when a person, you're all worn out, run down, you let yourself go. When a person is crushed by overwhelming circumstances, he doesn't look good. He can lose weight, he can gain too much weight, he turns white, wrinkles. When a person suffers in this world due to circumstances, the environment, due to trouble, agmas nefesh, all different types of environmental circumstances and personal suffering, you can see it on his face. It is the minhag ha'olam. She'al yidei torech haderech adam misbazeh. But Sarai, v'zois, this woman, amda b'yafya. She can travel through the desert in the most difficult circumstances. There can be a famine, and she's beautiful. How could it be? When you don't have what to eat, when you have agmas nefesh, when you have to travel, that's not the way a person naturally ages. How come Sarah maintained her beauty? What Avraham over here was saying to Sarah was, they both looked at each other in the mirror and he saw that Sarah did not age relative to how Avraham Avinu aged due to the difficult circumstances that they found themselves. Ki hine ato yodad ki isha yifas mare'ot means relative to me. When I was young, I was Prince Charming. And you were a queen. And now it's 100 years later. I look in the mirror, I look like an old man. And you're still a queen. You didn't age, I aged. When I say yofe, yofe means relative to me. I was also yofe when I was young. But I aged. Why did I age? Agmas nefesh. Yaakov Avinu said to Paro, Paro saw you. How old are you? Look like you're 1,000 years old. I'm not so old. I have a lot of agmas nefesh in my life. The agmas nefesh caused me to age prematurely. Here, they're suffering. There's a rav. They have problems. Nimrod took Avram, threw him into a fire. This happened. This his brother died. This problem, that problem, ten nisyonos, it didn't happen yet. Avram says to Sarah, look at this. You didn't age. I aged. When he says, Hinei no your isha yifas mare ot, he doesn't mean, oh, you're beautiful. I never knew this. Of course I knew you're beautiful. You're still beautiful. You're still beautiful like you were when you were, 7 years old. That's right. You're still beautiful. I used to be handsome, but I'm no more handsome. You know why? Life got to me. But life didn't get to you. Life didn't get to you. Nothing bothers you. All the tzaras, water off a duck, emunah pshuta. The world could be coming to an end. It's Hashem's world. It doesn't bother me. Emunah pshuta. Hinei no yodati ki isha yifas mare'ot. You're still just as beautiful you were on the day I married you, but I'm not. I'm looking at you in the mirror together with me. I have over here our wedding pictures, and here I see you now. And they took a new passport picture of both of us together. And I compare the passport picture to the wedding pictures, and you're the same, and I'm not. Hinei no yodati ki isha yifas mare'ot. Wow, you're an impressive person. Now, let's now go back to this week's parasha. The men are in the field, engaged in crushing labor. The world is coming to the end, to an end. The men have a lot of agmas nefesh. Life is over. The women come out into the field. They give them to eat, to drink. They look at their husbands. They pick up a mirror and they look at each other in the mirror together. And they say to their husbands, look at the difference between me and you. You look like a shmata. You know why? Because you're taking this too seriously. You're here in Auschwitz, crushing labor, they want to kill you, and you're depressed. Look at me. It's like my wedding day today. Emuna pshuta. You know why? Because I follow in the ways of Miriam. Vateitze kolo anoshim acharecha bisufim uvim cholois. Miriam told her father off. You're a man. You're depressed. You're depressed. Look at you. You look so sad. You're hunched over. You're shrunk because the world is coming to an end. Father, you're worse than Paro. Be like me. Optimistic. It's Hashem's world. You men, you're all followers of Amram. The women, they were all followers of Miriam. Miriam put into the Noshim to be optimistic. Don't let anything get to you. Don't age. Don't suffer agmas nefesh from anything in this world. Don't let it get to you. Deal with it in a responsible way, but don't let it get to you. They took out the mirror and they did to their husbands exactly what Avraham and Sarah did. Avraham saw himself in the mirror with Sarai. And he looked at himself, he looked at her, and he said, look at this. I look like an old man, and you look like it's your wedding day. My high. It's because Sarai, kol asher toimar, Sarah shma b'koyma. Sarah was on a higher level than Avram Avinu. She was optimistic. Fast forward. Amram threw in the towel. Miriam, don't throw in the towel yet. Go into the avoidas perach. They go out to their husbands. They pick up the mirror. Look at the difference between you and me. Why don't you learn? Why don't you pick yourself up and be like me? Be optimistic. Like Miriam. And you know what happened? The men were mole taiva, not taivas noshim. Doesn't mean it's crude. Would Rashi write, oh, all of a sudden they're full of taivas? What kind of crude language is this? That's not the way the Torah talks. They were nismale, a desire to, that's right. Let's go forward. Let's build. Paro can want to destroy us. The chasher ya'anu was a kain yirbe v'chein yifreitz. The men, they looked at the mirror. In the mirror, they saw themselves with their wives. They saw the emunah of the nashim, how they didn't age because they did not rashi here. Minag ha'olam. When you have agmas nefesh, you age. If you don't have agmas nefesh, you're fresh, you're vibrant. Sarai didn't age. Miriam didn't age. The nashim tzidkaniyos didn't age. The nashim, they say to the women, wake up, what's your problem? Look in the mirror, look at both of us, look at the difference in you and me. What a bushu chlima for you, that you don't want to pick yourself up and be like us, and be optimistic. And it worked. Nismali taiva, not taivas nashim, a taiva to go forward, a desire to persevere, to proceed, to rebuild Klal Yisrael. And from this came the Shishim Riboy of Klal Yisrael. The Kiyar, it goes back to who? To Avraham Avinu and Sarah. They're the first people who looked in the mirror and who saw the difference, the Musar. Hinei no yodati ki isha yifas mara'ot. There's something what I have to learn from you. Imri no achoy si'at. You know what it means? Imri no achoy si'at? Teach me. It doesn't just mean derech pshat, lie to Paro. Emor lachochma achoy si'at. Teach me the chochma of being optimistic. Imri no achoy si'at. Tell me that you're my sister. Teach me this koyach. How is it that you did not age? Mina ko'olam, when you suffer, when you're in stress, you age. Look at this, me and you, I'm looking at you in the babu and the reflection of the puddle, and you haven't aged one day, and I look like an old man. Imri no achoyse leman yitav li ba'avurech. Teach me the chochma, emor la chochma achoyseyat, how to be optimistic about life, even in the most difficult circumstances. The first couple to look in the mirror and to be inspired was Avraham and Sarah. Fast forward, the Marois Hatsoivois Asher Tzavu, the Noshim Tzidkaniyos followed in the way of Sarah Imenu. They looked in the mirror together with their husband and told their husbands, wake up, be optimistic. And they were successful. They produced the Tzivaois Hashem. What is the kiyar used for? What is the kiyar for? To wash?
Tahara.
To wash your what?
Tahara.
What kind of, you already went to the mikvah. You're not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis unless you're already in the Matzav of Tahara. You know, you can't go into the Azor. You can't go into the Azor. You can't walk in. You're already 100% tar. There's no need to wash your hands. This is not for the reason why we wash our hands for bread is that Akonas Chazal, because of a gezer for the Kohanim and the Shnios, has nothing to do with the Kiyar. A person goes in, a person goes into the Azara, he's already went to the mikvah, he's 100% tahar. It's a whole new halacha. You have to sanctify your hands and your feet. Your feet. A special halacha. Avraham and Sarah, like Avraham, when the malachim came to visit Avraham, what was the first thing? It was rachatzu raglecha. You come into the tent of Avraham Avinu, wash your feet. Wash your feet. Get the avodah zarah off your feet. The El Habokor Rotz Avraham. He ran with his feet to do chesed. Sorry, Imenu. Lushi v'asi ugois. Lushi, when do you really use your hands? When you need. Then you really, the whole shayla, when you need, you use your hands. The kiyar is Avraham and Sarah. It goes back to Avraham and Sarah. Avraham and Sarah are the team. The washing of the hands is Sarah. The feet is Avram. This is the celebrity couple of Klal Yisrael. Avraham and Sarah. Im hinei no yodata ki isha yifas mare'ot. Im hino achoy si'at. Leman yitav li ba'avureich. Let me be your partner in this, in being, have a positive outlook. And the team of Avraham and Sarah were people of the Yodayim and the Raglayim. Rachatzu ragleichem v'yelaboko rotz Avram. Sora, lushi v'asi ugoish. You got to do, lushi is an intensive labor with the yodayim. You come into the mikdash. It's the kiddush yodayim v'ragleichem. Where did they get the water from, by the way? Where did the water come from? Whose water is that? That's the Miriam's water. In the desert, there is no water in the desert. The water was the Be'er Shel Miriam. Every day they filled up the kiyah with the water of Miriam. Miriam, who said to her father, "Father, you give up already. You give up. You're worse than Paro. Paro was Goizal Azchom, and you Goizal on the Kevites." It's Miriam's water. It's the Marois of Avram and Sarah that was carried on that tradition to the Nashim of Konios all the way down to the time of the Avodas Perach of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. Okay, that is one idea. I just want to conclude. It's a shame. It's already time is up. I just want to just conclude with one, just to mention one very quick insight about Parsha Shkolim. Parsha Shkolim, we have a very beautiful Haftarah. And in the Haftarah, you appreciate the Haftarah. It's very interesting. In the beginning of the Haftarah, there was corruption. That's what it's all about. They were doing renovations for the Beis HaMikdash, and the system was such, people, we need a new Aron Kodesh, you take care of it. It's you do the fundraising, and you hire the workers, and you oversee it. We need a new floor. Anyone over here want to take care of the floor? Ah, Levi, you take care of the floor. So what happened? Levi goes out and does fundraising. We need a new floor in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe you want to give? Okay, how much do you want? 10,000. Okay, no problem. Who do I make out the check to? To me! You make out the check to me! I'm in charge of this project. Okay, $10,000 to Mr. So-and-so. You go to another guy. We're doing a new floor. I need more. Okay, I'll give you $20,000 to the base. Who do I make out the check to? To me! Okay, who has all the money? I have all the money for the floor. The one that's doing the new Aron, he has all the money for the Aron. The one that's doing for the bookcases, he has all the money. Then I go to a contractor. How much? Maybe make a deal based on Mikdash. Yeah, give you a discount. I'll give you a discount, but make sure there's a little kickback. Kickback to this guy, kickback to that guy. At the end of the day, the floor it's horrible. And where'd all the money go? Who knows? Where'd all the money go? Where all the money go? Okay, how much
is really come on.
What? One day when they're doing accounting for the trillions of dollars that was spent in this pandemic by the government to help people survive, do an accounting. Boy, where will the money go? Where did the money go? All the corruption. That's exactly what happened to Beis HaMikdash. What happened at the end? So Yehoyada made a takana, no more of this corruption. Oversight. There's going to be a pushka. No one writes out a private check to a private person. The money goes to who? The money goes to a corporation. It goes to an account, a communal account. There's a pushka near the Mizbeach. You put the money in the pushka. It's protected from people taking it out. Oversight. Now, here's the thing. Just because there's oversight doesn't mean there can't be corruption. Of course there can be corruption. There's always oversight. And yet at the very end of the parasha it says, no one suspected anyone for corruption. The oisei ki be'emunah heim oisei, which means that when the money was donated, I got a check, the Beis HaMikdash. Make out your check, Beis HaMikdash, Incorporated. And the money went to a central account. And then the gizbarim, they gave out money to workers to do the work. And the pasuk testifies, there was no oversight down to the last detail. There was no oversight. There could have been a lot of corruption there as well. But yet, ki be'emunah heim oisim. What's the pshat? In the beginning, there was full-fledged corruption. At the end, after they instituted a policy that no single kohen should take money for himself and then spend it, but the money goes to a central authority, and then from the central authority, the money is spent over the workers, then all of a sudden there was no corruption. But why? The same way there was corruption in the beginning, corruption has a way, it's like water. It gets all the way down to the lowest ground. It gets. So obviously there's something very interesting about this. is if there's no system, in Klal Yisrael, there's an emunah that people are good. I don't know if you people want to be good to some degree. There's always corruption. But people want, you have to give people an opportunity to be good, to be faithful. If there is no system altogether, zero, then the corruption is off the charts. If you have a system that is where there is a desire, there is a kavana from the upper echelon that there should be yashrus, it creates a different frame of mind in the common man where it's a virtue to be honest and have integrity. There's no way to solve corruption. Corruption will come because the pasuk has it. V'loy v'loch yichoshu, it says at the end of the Haftarah. They did not suspect any wrongdoing of the people that did the labor, which means even though not everyone receipts, there was no accounting, there was no inventory taken, there was no demand on every single person to know exactly how did you spend that money. We gave you $10,000, we gave it to the contract, we want to know all the building materials. They didn't demand to have an accounting. No one wants, because be'emunah hema'isim, the people who did the work, they did it with faith. And why didn't they do it with faith in the beginning before they made a new system? The only difference between the beginning and the end of the Haftarah is, in the beginning, the money was collected by individuals into private accounts, and the private accounts were used to go, and they went in nature. At the end, the money was a step. It was one, there was like a buffer. The money went to the central authority, and the central authority, they dished out the money to contractors. So why, and there could have been corruption when they dished out the money to the contractors, but there was no corruption. What's the difference? The difference is, That one buffer in the middle, because that one buffer in the middle was a statement from the Gedolim, from the Kohen Gadol, and from the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, this is the Beis HaMikdash here. This is a place of integrity, a place of emes, a place of yashrus. You don't play games here. That's all that was needed for the people to be put in their place. That's right. We're going to be honest. We're not going to fool around. But when the Mikdash itself, when the Beis Din Shel Kohanim, when the Kohen Gadol himself is corrupt, I don't care. It's an Olam Shel Hefker. Everything goes down the drain. It's amazing. Government today, you know, you look around in different governments. When you see that the government wants to, you get a sense, this is an honest government. Then there's always going to be ganavim. We know that. We're not dealing with the standards of the goyim. It creates a new dynamic. It creates a whole new mindset. Even though you can steal also. I mean, there's always going to be room. You see in this Haftarah very powerful that when the top has a certain, there's a certain trust. Like, you know, this week, very fascinating. It was powerful. If this thing is true in the Haftarah, everyone knew what happened in Canada. Canada, there was this protest. The truckers. Okay, so the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, did I pronounce it?
Trudeau.
He went to extreme measures that he basically he gave himself enormous powers, and the makeba patish was he freezed the bank accounts of all the people that disagreed with him, including corporations, private citizens. He froze their bank accounts. And then his deputy said that we're going to continue this forever. And then a day later, the world was shocked out of their mind. He gets up and he says, we're having harata. I'm revoking my emergency powers. I don't have the money, but I'm revoking the emergency powers. And the whole world was in utter, utter shock. May kar ma'asava, will the soif ma'asava. So it came out in the news already. It's all over the news already. I read this already in more than one place. What happened? During those 24 hours when he gave himself emergency powers and he freezed the bank accounts, 20% of the assets in the banks of Canada, in a panic, were removed from the country to American bank accounts, foreign bank accounts, bitcoins. Even though Parliament gave him, he won with the majority. He won. They, the government gave him the power. It was legal, so to speak. the citizen saw if the government at any moment can just take away your money, 20% of the assets that were in the Canadian banks, gone. Everyone who had a bank account in America, transfer the money to America, transfer the money to Switzerland, transfer the money to Venezuela, even better than Venezuela having a bank account than having a bank account in Canada, because in Canada, the moment's notice, they have no more money. Put it in Bitcoins. And they told him, you know, already 20% is gone. Everyone is literally online to get their money out of this country. In another 24 hours, it'll be 50%. There'll be no money left. No money left. What do you mean? When the government creates a sense of askeris, people behave with money a very different way. It's a sakana. You need the tap to be set a tone when it comes to money. This Haftorah is amazing. This Haftorah, in the beginning, corruption. Corruption all around. All they did was one thing. The very top made a statement, we're going to be honest. The money is not going to go to private accounts, it's going to go to a central account. And from there, we're going to dish out the money. So what have you accomplished? So when you dish out the money to the contractors, there'll be corruption. There'll be corruption there also. What do you solve? What are you solving problems over here? Corruption is corruption. The pasuk, the last pasuk of the Torah says, no one suspected anyone along. There was no accountability for anyone, and no one did anything wrong. Ki be'emuna heimas. Why? It's only because of one reason. You set the tone. When you set the tone that we're here for you, we're honest, then it trickles down. When you set a tone at the top, and we are corrupt, then the little man, what do you expect from the little man? The little man is even more corrupt. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you very much for coming and listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.